So, what would you say? So, what do you say?
I'm saying that explanation of the cooling effect of the atmosphere with the high content of CO2 is in the fact that the main factor in heat transfer is convection, and convection has a high efficiency of heat transfer from the planet's surface to the lower stratosphere, from which heat is rapidly dissipating into the outer space through radiation. So, physically, the explanation is very simple. The greatest factor in heat transfer is convection. And the increase in CO2 and methane content in atmosphere leads to improved convection, which allows to cool the surface of the surface of Earth. It's like a convective cooler picking up warm air at the surface of the Earth and transferring it into the high layers of stratosphere. That's it.
Now, 15 minutes ago, you presented this by giving us the relative percentages. Could you do that again? Could you repeat that earlier statement?
67% of the heat transfer in atmosphere is due to convection. About 22% by the water vapor condensation. And whatever left, 11%, is caused by radiation.
And what happens to that radiation, given the geometry of a carbon?
Actually, when we talk about radiation, we should understand that it doesn't change, the temperature as such. What happens when a photon of radiation is absorbed by a CO2 molecule, it leads to increase of kinetic energy of the atoms in this molecule, and it exists in the form of the intermolecular oscillation. And when this particular molecule ascends into the highest levels of stratosphere, this extra photon of radiation simply radiated into the open space. That is the way which is radiation leaving the Earth's surface.
So if I had to present this to an eighth grade science class or a freshman's physical science class, I would probably rely on the very simple concept of the conservation of mass and energy.
You also can do it. You can also talk about the second law of thermodynamics.
They're the same thing. Conservation of mass and energy. Mass is neither created nor destroyed, but simply changed from one form to another.
I think it has to do
with absolutely. We can talk about that, and it's even better to talk about the second law of thermodynamics.
That not to an eighth grade science class, it's not. Not to a high school science class,
yeah,
it's not.
Yeah.
No, it's not. You're not. No,
it's a small percentage of them. Yeah, they would understand.
No.
Okay, wait.
That's my background.
Wait. What he just described about the inner oscillation of the photon, right, and then emitted into space, we're talking about cooling.
Absolutely. We are talking about cooling.
That is probably the clearest. I have not heard that explanation from you guys, even though I know that you know it.
It's in the title of George's paper.
I know it is, but it was not, for me, I hadn't taken a look at that. But And I understand right now, just based on that one sentence you said about the, see, I understand the molecules, I understand all that. This is the basic, for me, basic high school chemistry that I took. But that makes complete sense. That would be the thing that actually would tip people, because the convection is a piece. It's then, the question is how does the cooling occur? The cooling is occurring, well, basically, you have the CO2 molecule, radiation, you have this intermolecular oscillation that then all of a sudden it then activates and it emits an electron into the outer space. That means the heat transfer is escaping the planet.
Yeah.
That means taking away, let's say, heating fuels and so forth. We will be cooling down. We will need petroleum. We'll need gas. We'll need oil or coal in order to heat ourselves. We'll burn away all the trees.
Yeah.
So, but then we also know that there are times historically that the Earth temperature has been far hotter than it is currently. So there's a cycle.
But that's different. That's a different concept.
But the other cycle with the other people, but see, that's what somebody
let's
else will bring that
focus.
Up.
Let's focus.
Now, the other, what is this? How does this fit with the other model that we looked at where you have increase in solar activity, increase of radiation, increase in temperature, and that heating the surface of the ocean and then releasing CO2 that's stored?
It fits very well.
Yeah,
because first of all, it's rising temperature which causes additional CO2 concentration in atmosphere. That is first of all. Second, if we have the situation when the distance between, roughly talking, distance between Earth and Sun is decreasing, we should expect the higher level of irradiation of Earth's surface. And because of that, what actually showed this Valentina Zharkova, because of that, the temperature should rise. And this rising probably occurs at the rate of 0.5 degrees Celsius over 100 years. This will continue, say, in the next 500 or 600 years. So, in addition to all these conversations about, I would say, gaseous part of the story, we should also understand that the changing distances in space, distances between Sun and Earth, definitely makes the highest temperature effect on the Earth's atmosphere. So it's not only about composition of Earth's atmosphere, but also many other parameters.
And the variation is the cyclical movement of the Earth and through elliptical, or are we talking about something else?
We are talking about cycles, and okay. One of the cycles, as this work of Valentina Zharkova showed, was the cycle of solar irradiation with the period of 2,000 years. So the rising, length of this period is 1,000 years. And looking at what happened in the, I would say, near past, the so-called Maunder minimum of solar activity, if you remember what I'm talking about, which happened
right.
In the year 1640 or 1630, something like that, the maximum of this solar TSA, terrestrial solar irradiation, will be reached in about, 500-600 years. And until this time, probably the temperature of the Earth's atmosphere will be gradually rising, no matter how much CO2 or other so-called greenhouse gases will be released in the atmosphere. So it's not the major factor of the changing climate of Earth. The major factor will be the so-called TSA, terrestrial solar activity.
Yeah. Cause and effect is reversed in the mind of many people.
Well, that is a big problem because people simply do not understand that the decreasing distance between Earth and Sun is much more influential than any kind of quantity of these greenhouse gases which are released into atmosphere, because this is nothing in comparison with changing distance between Earth and Sun.
Okay, now we're talking facts, scientific facts that we can present to the scientific community. President Trump at his prime probably knew his multiplication tables. He certainly didn't understand linear algebra. What I'm saying is, and that's why I kept stressing, and I'll talk about this offline, but I keep stressing the concept of conservation of mass and energy. I'm a physics major. In my senior year of high school physics in 1971, I won the International Science and Engineering Fair because I built a nuclear magnetic resonance spectrometer. So I know a little bit about what is taught in grade school and high school. My father was responsible for the State of Arizona high school and grade school science curriculum. And Mark was absolutely correct, but the average person who studied PSSC physics in 1980 did not study the first, second, and third law of thermodynamics. Now, maybe you went to a private school and had a better education than we did, but we have to talk here about the disconnect between Americanus Bubus, the guy on the street that elects the president, and us as scientists, and in my case, a business guy that knows a bit about science.
Well, anyway, it's a quite different story. We should realize for ourselves that temperature is changing, definitely, and it's rising, definitely. It's rising because of what? Because of the changing distance between Sun and Earth. They become closer, and the part of solar energy which is reaching the Earth's surface increasing, and it will be continuing until the year probably 2600. So nothing can be done, actually, if it happens with everything else.
This was the subject of your two-page report, of your two-page paper.
And just a reminder.
Subject of your two-page paper with George. However, what has happened is that the propagandists have not concentrated on scientific fact. They say they would simply look at that and say, "See, the Earth is getting warmer. Man caused it."
But in what way? But it's not way man caused it. If it's distance between Sun and Earth. It's really funny. But anyway, it happens. Well, we probably should stop here. Whatever is convenient to present to Trump, that humans are not responsible for recently observed global warming, will be okay. It doesn't matter what exactly.
Yeah.
The idea that actually temperature is rising first and CO2 content increases second is very simple and viable idea in this presentation.
Law, but.
Wait, so temperature rises first and then what you said?
CO2.
And then CO2, yeah,
and,
of course.
And then we have increase in concentration of CO2 in atmosphere because the higher part of CO2 is transferring from world ocean into Earth's atmosphere. This is so-called Henry law, because solubility of CO2 decreases when temperature increases. Yeah. Temperature increases, solubility decreases. This part of CO2 which is in oceanic water goes to atmosphere. And I have to just mention that in world ocean we have about 70 times more CO2 content than in entire Earth atmosphere. 70 plus times more.
70 plus.
Huh? Yeah. So when the temperature increases, solubility decreases, and part of the oceanic CO2 goes to atmosphere. Henry law. It's a very famous, I would say, chemical law, probably of 19th century.
Yeah.
It's also important to emphasize that temperature changes first, CO2 second.
And what is the time lag between the two?
Well, it's probably... nobody would tell you how fast it happens, but what? When you look at these curves, it can be, 600,000 years or something like that?
No. No, the time lag between the rise in temperature and the increase in CO2 is...
No, what? It's immediately, actually, but what? It's not sensible until you accumulate enough CO2 actually to measure the difference. But it happens immediately if you start just warming some, local volume of oceanic water, it actually transfers immediately. If you put some, heating device into oceanic water and start measuring the concentration of CO2 just above it, you'll find it immediately.
So again, what is the time lag between the two?
Almost immediate.
Immediately.
So basically what you want to do is... basically you would look at some... here's where you would do observation of, let's say, of changes in ocean temperature and then showing increases in CO2.
And I have a very solid reason for harping on this point, mm-hmm. because the literature will say 600 years to several thousand years is the last.
It does. But we are talking about global measurements. We are talking about global temperature, about global content. But if you are not talking about global, if you are talking about local, it happens immediately.
Yeah, I understand the difference between local and global. And that, by the way, is a very good point. It's still recorded. Yeah, that's okay. A very good point, the difference between local and global.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me know what you want to do else today, because what? I expect some people to come.
Okay. All right, thank you.
At this point. Thank you very much. I really... appreciate your efforts. I'm talking to Tom, because without such, I would say, energetic and enthusiastic people, never will change. The situation will never change.
Tremendous analytical mind. Tremendous analytical mind. Tamarek and Hiluk.
George, thank you very much. You are a great scientist, probably the greatest science in natural sciences ever born. And when people say, what kind of knowledge he does have about climate, he has better knowledge about all natural sciences than many other people who are considered big authorities on climate change.
Absolutely. Hey, look, one thing that struck me, because this might fit into this whole narrative about what does he know, because he's an oil person. My understanding is that the adiabatic, Dad introduced the idea about gas flow based on his understanding of gas migration.
It's not only about that. It's about general laws of fluids, general laws of gases, general laws of liquids, which are flowing, which are experiencing phase transformation. Liquids go to gases, gases go to liquids, and what did George do during his lifetime? He actually worked on all this stuff. It was in, say, petroleum industry, but it also was, say, in gas industry. So gas and oil are what? Gases and liquid materials, which he studied for entire life.
That answers your question, Tom. This is like hitting. I'm right on.
Yeah, let's reaffirm that.
So this is basically this supports that question about our concerns whether what, you know, he's just a petroleum guy. Well, yeah, and definitely so, because of his knowledge about understanding of gas and liquid and the changes under pressure and so forth, the conditions in which the temperature, everything that affects heat and liquid and gaseous states, heat transfer, heat loss.
And he is one of the greatest authorities in the world in fluid mechanics. Mark, can you put it down?
Yes, what
is he is one of the greatest authorities in fluid mechanics, which actually absorb everything what we are talking about. He has a big book, voluminous book, about what, 800 pages on fluid mechanics.
Yeah, I have a copy on my desk.
And it's about all this phase transformations, temperature transformations, temperature, pressure, relationships, and so on and so forth. Bernoulli equations, Mach numbers, and everything else.
They use my fluid mechanics book in the largest petroleum university in the world.
In Russia.
How many pages this book has? 800, 900, something like that. One of the most, I would say, comprehensive books in the world in fluid mechanics.
Fluid mechanics book of mine is used as a textbook in the largest petroleum university in the world, Gubkin in Moscow. 40,000 students.
Well, guys, I need to go. So again, I was happy to participate in this this conversation. Hopefully, we can do something about this global warming hoax. But what? If we do not get, if we do not find direct way to President Trump and will not be able to communicate something really simple and easy about this subject directly to his ear, I believe everything else is simply doesn't help.
And I'm going to expand on that slightly. I believe that President Trump, well, within 24 hours, contact or his people will contact Will Happer and possibly Robert Lindzen and ask for their opinion. And I think it's important that we actually present to those two people before the information is presented to Trump, in my opinion.
Do you have direct trail for this?
Yeah. Yes.
That's good.
I could send them this as an MP3.
Okay.
Or a better produced. I mean, we can produce mm-hmm. something, but yes, we have direct shots to those two people,
yeah.
Dr. Happer and Dr. Lindzen. Those are the two gatekeepers to the president.
Mm-hmm.
We have to convince them. We convince them.
Well, it will be good.
At least they're receptive to listening to us.
Mm-hmm.
Then the president will force more listening.
Okay. That's the key, is to get those who are lukewarmers on our understanding this, they will be then saying, they verify what we are saying. Then the president, then we have that backing that what we're looking for, which is the United States to back up. And that's basically the global leader. If we can get that shifted, we could shift, potentially, God willing, you know, the narrative on what is CO2. Because right now they basically are using CO2, which is the natural gas that we all expel, as the gas of life that you've termed it. The gas of life is all of a sudden, I think they're looking at ways to eradicate humans.
And by the way, if you think this through, the gas of life is carbon dioxide, because plants get carbon from, they don't get
yeah.
carbon from chunks of carbon in soil. They get carbon from carbon dioxide.
Mm-hmm.
We eat the plants. Okay, having said that, we also do something else. We expel, we produce methane. Cows produce methane. Is methane a greenhouse gas, quote unquote? Well, it's an order of magnitude less in quantity than CO2. But an alarmist doesn't understand that concept of concentration. But if you want to kill the alarmist's argument, and Greta Thunberg, in where she from, Sweden, if you want to kill her argument, you simply say, burn the goddamn gas. Burn
mm-hmm.
it. CH4.
Mm-hmm.
It's natural gas. Burn more gas. That solves methane. So we are saying CO2 is the gas of life. We're saying methane is the gas of energy. They're both harmless and good for humans.
And you know that after CO2, this alarmist will latch on to methane.
That's what I just said, methane.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we burn the methane because it's natural gas. CH4.
And what are the, so CH4, you burn it, and the compounds are what? Water?
Water and CO2.
Huh?
Water and CO2.
Yeah, water and CO2.
Okay, I need to disconnect. So again, I'm...
Take care, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Luke, for your participation.
Okay, my pleasure, George. For you, anytime. Tom, thank you very much for your efforts. Mark, you are great. Without you, nothing would happen. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. God bless you. That's what I was hoping to get.
Hold on.
Yeah. This is what I was looking for. It was because we were looking, I needed to hear some key bullet points. Some of the key bullet points, and, you know, like, how do we present this? Because my friend wants me to bring this book and give it to the contact and explain to the contact why we're doing it.
Who is the contact and what's his background? The
contact is, his background, basically he's a name.
The name doesn't mean anything to
right,
me.
Right.
The person, why is he a decent contact? What attributes make him a contact? And how do we know that he, in fact, will get this document, this book, to Trump?
He's one of his primary property managers.
Okay.
And business managers.
Okay.
So he's
an insider to the Trump business world.
He is the one goes in and then explains what, gives them the rundown or the summaries of what is going on with the business, and then where, and then takes the director.
And he still does that to Trump Sr., or does he do that to Jr., since Trump has had to give away most of his business interests?
Right, no, he does that for Eric.
For Eric.
Eric, and so, and he also has contact with Donald, Trump Sr.
Pat Boone gave a copy of the book
but
to
it's
Donald.
Not for, it's not, Jr. doesn't actually,
Pat
Eric is the one who does the property.
Okay.
And he's the one that talks directly. That's why he wants two copies, one for, because he, the manager also meets with the president in some certain ways, in other ways. So the idea is that we can get this also.
So the manager's not going to know diddly about the science, but that doesn't matter.
Can we turn that off for a second?